Yeah, it was cute, wasn't it? And you're probably thinking I'm going to talk about offering, right? No. No, what I liked about that, I'm going to actually be talking about Proverbs and sharing. And these people gave different good reasons for not wanting to share, you know, like very difficult and different ones, all the way from guilt to watching somebody really praise God and being able to do that. So today, we're going to talk about wising up about sharing in our series in Proverbs called Wise Up About Life. And I'm just taking several subjects out of Proverbs and doing it, and then we'll probably be back in the New Testament after that. Last week, on my way over to one of the leaders in this church's house, I agreed to stop by Taco Bell and get some lunch. And as I parked my motorcycle and I was walking into Taco Bell, there was a very young vagrant, obvious vagrant, sitting on the sidewalk with a couple gym bags and a blanket. And I recognized him, and he recognized me instantly. He'd come to this church and wanted to go into ministry, and ultimately he had a lot of problems, and his wife had decided to divorce him. And so there he sat, and as I was walking past, he's kind of trying to push the clothes back into a blanket because all of his clothes were wrapped up in a big blanket. And he had a sleeping bag, and I finally he says to me, "Do you remember me?" And I said, "Yeah, I do. I remember you," smiling. And I said, are you all right? And because he's obviously living on the streets. And he was upbeat, and he said, "No, I'm just fine. I just waiting for my order at Taco Bell here." And so as I went in and ordered the food, I ordered a little bit extra, and I passed by him again, and I said, "You know, would you like some food? I ordered extra." And he said, "No, I'm fine." And I said, "Well, you know," and he looked pretty destitute. So I said, "No, listen, I actually ordered extra so I could give you some." And he said, no, I'm fine. I just need to get my stuff here in order so I can go in and get my order." And I thought, isn't that something? And packing his clothes back into that blanket. And he told me he had been in the ministry for a little bit, but then it just didn't work out in his marriage, and now he's on the streets. And I thought, you know, is it just the pride? I think it's the pride. we're so programmed not to receive. Isn't that true? In our society, it's just not good. And at least that's the way we think. And his situation plagued me. And I thought, well, I can't pick up all of his stuff and put it on the motorcycle and give him a ride over to church or home or something like that. And I just really didn't know what to do. And across the street were a couple policemen looking at him, and I kind of figured they're probably going to, you know, go over and have a chit-chat with him. But, you know, sometimes we see people that really have a legitimate need, and I think he probably had a legitimate need knowing his past. Don't you, when you see somebody like that, don't you want to share with them? When you really know it's a true need, there's a real, I think the Holy Spirit probably really pushes on our heart because God wants us to share. And so this morning, I want to build a foundation for that sharing. I only have 3 points. You probably have 20, okay? But I only have 3 points, and it's actually so that we can wise up to be able to share our resources with other people when it's appropriate. And so here's the first one. Sharing demonstrates God's kindness, right? I look at that, and let's just read this together. And you remember, you read the yellow, I'll read the white. "He who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord." Okay, now listen, this is God's word. Okay, so we're going to read that again. And I want you to repeat it back like it's God's word, okay? Because it is, right? Okay, here we go. "He who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord." Now, see, the reason I think it was probably hard is because you're thinking I'm going to separate you from your money, right? I'm not. That is not what I'm going to do at all. All right, and so sharing demonstrates God's kindness, and the he's in there make it just a little bit unclear, and he will pay back what he has given. So let me just state it the way Ismia said, and God will pay back what you have given. Now, that's an interesting promise, isn't it? And God will pay back what you have given. The word pity here doesn't mean that you have sorrow for or you feel sorry for him. It means to be gracious and generous. And it's gracious, it's to be graciously motivated with no strings attached, and it's to be actually given. You know, while I was thinking about it, I had to laugh to myself, because there's one thing about being motivated, there's another thing about actually doing it. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, I think, okay, what holds us back? What is it that holds us back? And I think it's the fear that we might be given it wrongly, right? Somebody might be taking it and they don't really need it, or if we lend it, they won't pay back, right? How many times have you been caught where you lend somebody money because they really need it and they never remember again, and they even separate themselves from you, okay? Okay, got a hand there, all right, okay. I know somebody's listening then. No, I'm just kidding. Or are we, I think one of the real hard things is, are we being duped or suckered, right? Boy, it's so hard sometimes to tell, because a lot of people are on the take. It's very interesting in church, because people will come in asking for money all the time, and we have kind of a rule that we don't give out money, and if we really see that it's real need, we have them work for it, so that they don't have to feel that sense of shame. But it's real hard, because if you give money to a person in the circuit, and I'm telling you, there's a circuit out there, okay, all of a sudden they come through the woodwork, and there we've got three or four or five different people during the week coming in, asking for, and it's always, I'm going from Fort Collins to Colorado Springs, and I'm out of gas, and I think, you drove 8 or 10 miles in? It doesn't even make sense, because it's a circuit, okay? And then the other thing is, I think, that's crucial, is that some people just don't support themselves, and they want somebody else to do that, and they want you to do that, right? And so that's kind of hard. And so, but if you could hear this morning, okay, please hear me. You cannot control the outcome or the worthiness of others. It's impossible to do that. We're not in their shoes. And so God tells us to share. I don't think we're to share stupidly, but God wants us to share. And then, according to God, you are not giving to them, you're giving to whom? The Lord. That's right. You're lending to God. Now, years ago, at our previous location, our men's group got together, and we were kind of looking, is there some kind of particular ministry we could support? And one person found out about a woman that had 3 kids, and her husband had left. He was having an affair. And she had no money, and on top of it, she was an illegal. And so her husband told her, if you tell anybody, then I'm going to turn you in, and you'll get shipped back to Mexico. And so the members of the group got together, we did an offering, and we paid her rent 3 times. And then we realized, man, this could go on forever. And so one of our people were over at this place where you get food in Brighton, and they saw the husband and wife sitting together holding hands, and they had just passingly mentioned while they were listening that, oh yeah, we got Harvest Fellowship to pay our rent 3 times. Now, I want to ask you a question, and I want you to turn to your neighbor and ask that question. How does that make you feel? That we supported these people 3 times and it was a con all the way through. So turn and just express to them in a word or 2 words, oh, how does that make you feel? Okay, can somebody give me an emotion? What's that? Up from our giving? Yeah, okay. Angry. Yeah, it does make you angry, doesn't it? Yeah. Any? Huh? Sad. Yeah. Sad that people would do that. Yeah, okay. Hey, do you want to finish the sermon? Yeah, no, you're exactly right. Yeah, you're exactly right. Somebody else had one? Huh? Used. Okay, good, yeah. You know, the problem with that is I think that that kind of a negative response, we've all been there at some point. We've seen that, we've observed that. And I don't know how you feel, but for me as a pastor, it gets really confusing. In fact, I was so glad when somebody took over the benevolence ministry and I didn't have to do it. I'm serious, because it's so hard. And, you know, it makes us feel discouraged. It makes us feel dumb, right? Until the proverb comes to mind. And I remember I felt those certain emotions, and then the proverb came to mind. And here's the lesson, and it was mentioned that we are lending to the Lord. We are lending to God rather than to the person. And God, what do you think? God may pay back his loans? Do you think he reneges on a loan? No. And so our job is to show God's kindness, and we demonstrate that kindness and to those in need. So I want to come to a second one, and that is sharing opens ourselves to blessings. All right? Sharing opens ourselves to blessings. Sharing doesn't just help other people, it also helps us. So I want to read this next proverb. The next proverb. There, thanks. Okay. He who gives to the poor will not lack. Oh, wow. Look at that. He who gives to the poor will not lack, but he who hides his eyes will have many curses. You know, what a contrast in a proverb. The Proverbs does that quite a bit. The instant you see "but" on the sentence, you know it's a contrast. And so it's a contrast between giving and closing your eyes. And a curse in the Old Testament refers to a sign of God's judgment. So a curse is the opposite of a blessing, obviously. And I want to call it an anti-blessing. We either have a blessing or we have an anti-blessing. And those who share what they have receive blessings. And those who refuse to share receive anti-blessings. It doesn't just go alone. God's saying that something happens in place of that. Now, Paul says it probably one of the clearest for us in our kind of language in 2 Corinthians 9:6. He says, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly." Anti-blessing, right? You know, isn't that interesting? It just doesn't make sense from a financial point of view. It seems like if you hoard your money, you'll keep it. In the Bible, is more like if you hoard your money, you lose it, or ends up in danger. Then he says, he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. That's a blessing. And I want to jump down to 8. And God is able to make all grace, all resources, you'll see in the context, abound towards you, the giver, that you always have an all-sufficiency in all things, may have abundance for every good work. So what he's saying is, if you give bountifully and you take care of the poor and you don't hide your eyes, it will come back to you for more good work. It will not come back to you for more hoarding, but good work. Now, please don't misunderstand. I'm not just talking about financial blessings. In that passage, it seems to be, but you know, I went through the era of name it and claim it. Anybody hear that before? Okay, is it just me? Okay. A name it and claim it was a group of people that just would say, you know, like if you want a Mercedes-Benz, you name it and claim it. And so what happened was all these preachers that did it were rich, from that philosophy, and the people under him were. And you know, what's very interesting is most of them ended up going to prison in those days, if you remember. You know, they so many because it was the wrong take on what God says in the scriptures. And so, it's about giving and not about getting. Do I need to say that again? It's about giving and not about getting. And God's blessings encompass every area of our life, including financial blessings. And it's not limited to that. It's limited to other blessings in our life. And I wish I could get people up that are great givers and have them give you a testimony, because they come and tell me. And, you know, and it isn't that they're bragging. It's just that they're so blessed. They talk to me a lot about that kind of thing. And I just love them to have here to hear. If you're one who is kind of more of the sparing situation, you will always be in that state. Always be in that state until you change and become bountiful, okay? Let's read our next part. This is number three. Sharing with others counteracts our craving. All right, let's read our Proverbs on this one. The desire of the lazy man kills him. He covets greedily all day long. Wow. So we know through Christ, all of us that have put our faith and trust in Christ, that we are the righteous, right? That's what the Bible says. And the righteous gives and does not spare. Now, just in case you're moving to the idea that I'm preaching on money for the church, I am not. I'm talking about your life and your life alone in this world. You hear me this morning? I don't want to get that confused, because I know some visitors here and they're going, I'd come on today, they're telling me to give. Right? No, I'm not doing that. What I am telling you is that the Bible says that's the healthiest thing we can do for ourselves. The way, if we, all of you want to be blessed, right? Okay, the only way is, maybe not be the only way, but one of the ways is that if we give of our resources, and it doesn't have to be money, it could be the extra table or a bicycle or whatever that may be in your life, you're able to give those resources to people that need it. You know, I look at it, and again, we're so scared. You know, I mean, a lot of times I go north and I come back on I-25, and you get off on 7 out here, you know, and come back, and there's a beggar. Have you ever seen him, a Vietnam vet that's there with a sign, and he's waiting for money? Well, it's very interesting, because I've seen him enough times that, and a couple other people here have seen him too, and he drives up in a pretty nice Toyota and parks it far enough away they don't think we can see it, changes his clothes in the car, okay, then gets out and goes up there and begs for, 3-4 hours or whatever it is. You go back to his car, changes out of those dirty rags, and gets in his clean clothes and drives off. Tax-free money, baby. And it's those kind of things that we look at and our heart pulls, doesn't it? If you're a Christian, your heart pulls on those things. And you think, what if it is a vet that's having a hard time? And then we have those other people that use that as a decoy in order to do that. I was in Baltimore one time, and I saw these two people, a husband and wife sitting together, and they were begging, and they had their cups out. And I walked past them, and I thought, you know, I think when I come back, I'm going to give to them, you know, because they really looked destitute. And I went on to whatever the event was, and I came back, and they weren't there. On TV, they had a thing on those two people. And they both owned Cadillacs. They interviewed them, and they made over $100,000 in tax-free money doing that. And they said, we will only, one would have been an MD, a doctor, and realized he could make more money begging on the street, and his wife was some, you know, very educated, and they just realized they had all this tax-free money, and so they'd only work 8 hours, and then they go back to their Cadillac and change into their good clothes and go on to whatever event they're going to go. That's what we're afraid of, isn't it? That's the thing that's hard in our society, because it's hard in some ways almost to be poor, and yet we have the poor. We have those who have need. We have those people around us, and yet we get such a jaundiced view. And so here's what 1 Thessalonians says in chapter 3 on that kind of a person. For even when we were with you, we commanded you this, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. Now, is that clear? Yeah. Now, those who are such, we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in well-doing. What do you think that well-doing is? Sharing. The word for covet here means desiring something selfish. You know, coveting refers to the focus of what we don't have, being unsatisfied with what we do have, even when we have enough to meet our needs. And that just is a scarcity type of view in our life that we think, oh man, we have to keep getting and getting and getting and getting. And then you have way more than what people out there have. And it's this coveting and craving that rules the sluggard of Proverbs, the lazy man. But people who love God and walk with God are almost unaffected. Do you realize that in your life? I mean, yes, we at times we have temptations and that kind of thing, but we're almost unaffected by that compared to the person that's lazy. And it's hard to be selfish and unselfish at the same time, right? Giving is an antidote for craving, and sharing with resources is a antidote for coveting. In fact, giving is the only remedy for coveting. Do you realize that? Giving is the only remedy. So here's the conclusion. We focused on sharing in our money, but in reality, we have lots of resources. We do this by sharing our time, our possessions, our attention, and sharing our money. Whatever that takes, whatever is the appropriate thing to do. And who are you lending to? That's right. You're lending to God. God pays back, he said. Have you experienced that? And you know, looking at you, I know you guys want to be that kind of person. I want to be that person. And so I want you to pull out your bulletin, okay? Go to the back of the bulletin. And there's the sermon notes. Now, some of you are writing, okay? Other of you are refusing to write. Hey, I have very little material, too. Okay, all right. So, you see down at the bottom my application? Okay, write down what struck you this morning, okay? What struck you this morning when you were listening? You might even put down guilt if that's what it is. Whatever it may be. Now, this is what I put down. I want to be that sharing person, but I want to do it. I don't want to just talk about it. That was mine. You write down what yours is and think about it when we go to prayer. You know what? We can't be that kind of person by simply trying harder. It doesn't work that way. It's the only way we can become that kind of person is when we understand we're overly blessed in this country, right? That if you have shelter and food and clothing, anything above that is huge. It's a blessing. It's a gift. And when we begin to see that, we wise up about sharing. So I want to close with this verse and go to prayer. And that is out of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Who is that? Jesus Christ. Man, we got it made, folks. We got it made. Father, we just come this morning. A tough subject. And yet at the same time, Lord, you say that if we lend to you, you pay your debt. And so, Lord, we should be scrambling to help the people around us who have need. And yet, Lord, we are around a society that are cons and who really don't need, who are just taking advantage. And, Lord, please protect us from those things as we move forward in our life to share our resources. And, Lord, may you be glorified in that. Our heads are bowed. You may have come this morning and you don't have a relationship with God, and or at least you don't feel like you do. And, you know, I want to talk to you for a second. The rest of you could pray. The Bible says that we've all sinned and fallen short of God's standard, and that the wages of that sin is death. But he goes on to say, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. In Romans 10:9, it tells us how we can have that relationship. He says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So my friends, if I'm talking to you today, I'm going to pray a prayer, and you can just pray that prayer along with me. And the prayer goes like this. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart and life and be the Lord of my life. Be the boss of my life. I believe that you rose from the dead, just as that verse said. And because of that, you rose from the dead for me too. So come into my life and save me today. And may I live for you. I surrender my life to you. Our heads are still bowed. If you prayed that prayer and you really meant it, will you show God? Just raise your hand up and put it back down. And let God know you meant business this morning. Anybody? This morning? Anybody? Father, we just thank you so much that we have that opportunity. I just hope, because it's an unusual thing that nobody raised their hands today, that it's because we all know Jesus Christ as our Savior. And Lord, I just pray that today's verses and today's Proverbs and Paul's scripture and so on will resonate in our hearts, and that we'll feel that sense of abundance, that we can actually give some of our resources to people in need as Christians. Lord, I feel like our church is such a great greeting church and friendly church, and Lord, help us to take that next step in that level and help us to be a giving church in terms of the poor, in terms of those people, maybe orphans overseas, maybe people next door, whatever it may be. May we have a kind and generous heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.